excited about my message this morning. I'm going to be sharing a series for the next two Sundays about Abraham. Amen. One of my favorite shows is Gold Rush. Anybody watch Gold Rush on Discovery Channel? I've been watching that since it started back in 12 or 13. I forget which year it started. And then there's several spinoffs of the series that started on that. But anyways, it follows several groups of miners in Alaska and Canada where they're doing placer mining. Anybody know what placer mining is? Well, placer mining is where they dig up soil off the ground using backhoes and such things, where they're going maybe, they're taking layers of soil off until they reach the level of gravel they want to get to, and they take that gravel to a wash plant like the Trommel you see there, and they wash that gravel, and they get gold out of it. Usually it's gold like finger size, or even sometimes flower size gold. Flower gold is what they call it. And there's other types of mining they call hard rock mining. And this is where you think about dynamite, or you think about explosives, you think about drilling into the rock and hammering into rock, and they take big chunks of rock and they crush it up and they get the ore, the minerals, or the whatever they're looking for out of that mine, out of that rock that they're looking for. And of course, I always have to throw in a space story here. It's been said that NASA, when they used to source, and they may still do this, when they used to source, say they needed a bolt for a specific item, well, they don't just run down to Lowe's and pick up a bolt. They want to know where this bolt came from, because they want to make sure this bolt's going to be working the way it's supposed to work, when it's supposed to work, all the time it's supposed to work. And so they even go so far as knowing the mine it was, the ore was dug from, and the planet was processed on, because they want to make sure they know where that material came from. I'll get right back to that in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and it says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father?" Well, when you think about the father of faith, you know, you may think of people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and other people like that. But we need to go way back past Martin Luther, and way back all the way to Abraham. Abraham, there's many verses in the Bible about him being the father of faith, our father. You know, everyone remember hearing verses in the Word about our father Abraham? I mean, Wesley, we come up here and sing the song for us, Father Abraham and his sons. Thank you, Joe. If you ever come on Wednesday night, you can hear Ranger Joe down the hallway singing those songs. Praise God. Romans chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, that which he may had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those that are not only are of the circumcision." There's a lot of circumcision here. But look at the last line here. "But who also walk in the steps of faith." Sorry. Billy's making me laugh. Read that last line for me here. "But who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had." So uncircumcised. Oh, there's another uncircumcised. What I want you to see here is that he might be the father of all those who believe. Who's a believer in here? I'm a believer. "But who also walks in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham." He's the father of all those who believe. It talks about walking in the steps of our father Abraham. The faith that which we have is the same faith of God, is the same faith of God, and it operates and develops in the same way that Abraham developed. He walked in steps of faith. We walk in steps of faith. The same faith. We walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. And this it reveals a progressive development. You don't just start where you wind up in faith. You start at a point and you progress in it. You start walking by faith. And if you follow the path that God has for you, everything you learn in faith and every step of faith, and these steps are situations, and there will be specific times and opportunities to believe God. And if you believe God and you overcome and you act and you receive and you do through that, you develop more and more. Has anyone ever went through a situation and you stood on it in faith and it seemed like a mountain at the time and you got through it, and the next time it came up, it didn't seem so bad, did it? Because you developed in it. That development then prepares you for the next step. And then if you're successful in that, that prepares you for the next step, and the next step, and the next step. I'm thinking about Dawn when she was sharing her life story up there. Step after step always prepared her for the next step. Can you say that, Dawn? Is that true? Always prepared you. And it's progressive, and it's greater and greater and greater, just like our father Abraham. Just listening about faith and hearing about faith only doesn't develop us fully in faith. That's how we feed our faith, is by hearing. You know, faith comes by hearing. But that, you don't just stop there. Your faith is not developed by hearing alone. You have to be a doer and actually exercise your faith. Anybody like exercising? My body did not like me exercising after I got done exercising yesterday, but I did it. I developed. You know what's going to happen next time I exercise? I'm stronger. We live by faith and we walk by faith. Sometimes I think people think just because they've heard about faith for a long time that equals that they're highly developed in faith. I listen, let's say for example, this week, I hardly listen to anything during my work period other than preaching. I mean, that's good. You know, give me a pat on the back. Amen. But that doesn't mean I'm highly developed in faith, because I have to be a doer of the word. I have to take steps of faith. I needed to hear those things that I heard. It ministered to me. But I still have, the faith comes by hearing, and it's released by us acting upon it. James goes into detail that faith without action is dead. So let's get back to what we were talking about mining a moment ago. Isaiah 51:2 in the Voice translation, it says, "It would be good for you to look back, look to the place from where you came, the rock at which you were shaped, and the quarry from where you were mined. Look to your spiritual ancestors, Abraham, your father." The King James says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and the hole of the pit from which you were dug." I want to talk to you about the faith of Abraham. How can we have that faith of Abraham? How can you have that faith of Abraham? Well, let's go back to the rock we were cut from the pit we came out of. The pit I came out of, you might say. Well, let's talk about that. It doesn't sound very good, we're coming out of a pit. But think about it in mining terms. You got to get to the stuff. You got to get to the good stuff. The good stuff, well, if you go to Australia, in some places in Australia, you can literally take a metal detector on the ground and find nuggets that big. And they were showing them. So let's just forget about that example. Most of the time, gold and diamond, you can't just go and pick up. Well, I mean, if you travel to Arkansas, there's a certain field you can go in. One time I had this bright idea on my birthday. I thought, hey, kids, we're going to go to Arkansas and dig for diamonds on my birthday. So there's a certain field you go in Arkansas, and you can literally go and dig for diamonds. It was fun, wasn't it, Eric? No. Anyways. That's why Arkansas has the natural state and a diamond on their license plate. So, getting back on subject here, he's talking about the shaft, the vein that we were cut from. You've heard the phrase, cut from the same cloth? We're not just cloth, we're diamonds. We're gold. We're precious stones. We're out of the same vein that Abraham came out of. We're out of the same faith vein. I'm talking about a vein of diamonds or gold that is deep down and it's precious. That's the rock we're cut out of. Say it out loud. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I have the same kind of faith as Abraham. That's the rock I was cut from. Now, Abraham's faith is legendary. There's lots of places in the Bible about Abraham's faith, isn't there? It's all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament in Hebrews. He will always be known throughout the universe about his faith. His faith has held up an example for everybody that will come after him. And I want to look at his life and other things that come in his life in our next message. But how did he learn it? How did he learn to walk by faith? Where did he get it? There wasn't any faith churches around at that time. There wasn't any faith books or CDs or DVDs. There wasn't any faith seminars. There wasn't Ten Commandments at that time. There wasn't even the law at that time. But the Lord says us to look back. Look at his life. Look where we came from. Where did he learn it from? His faith was counted to him for righteousness because he learned that from God himself. Without any group, without any books, without any seminary, his faith. He's forever known, and he will be forever known for his faithfulness. He's forever known as a friend of God. Say with me, faith, faithful, friend. Now, faith means Abraham trusted God. Faithful means God trusted Abraham. Are you faithful? Faith means I trust you, God. Faithful means God, hey, he can depend upon you. In Nehemiah 9, 7 and 8, it says, you are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. Look at verse number 8 here. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him. God found him faithful. He was so faithful, he made a covenant with him. What's a covenant? A covenant is a life bond thing that is not broken. And if you're in trouble, I'm coming for you. If I'm in trouble, you're coming for me. We have a bond together. In Genesis 18, 19, I have chosen him for a reason. What is that reason? That he will carefully instruct his children and his household to keep themselves strong in the relationship in me, and to walk in my ways by doing what is good and right in the world and by showing mercy and justice to all. God talking about Abraham. He's saying Abraham's my dude. He's it. I can trust him. I called him for a reason. Why him? Well, God said he found that his heart, he was faithful before him. He said that he knew him, that he would teach his children about him. He saw that here's a man, here's a person that will trust me. Some people may say, well, we all trust God. I don't think that's true. We all have faith. Well, that's true in a general sense. We all have the faith. But in the scripture it says, faith is exceedingly precious. Faith is exceedingly rare. How many times did Jesus marvel about a person's faith? With his own people sitting there, he's saying, hey, this person has the most faith I've ever seen in my life. And their people, they're all like, oh, what about us, Jesus, you know? It's exceedingly rare. Jesus marveled at it. Think about gold. You know, I was talking about gold, digging for gold earlier. All gold mined in the world so far in the whole earth, you know, there's many websites, they all say something different. But the one I'm telling you today says all the gold mined in all the world throughout all history would only fill a soccer field 1 meter high. So it's pretty rare. Do you think with God it's possible to please Him with something that is common and cheap? He's looking for someone who's going to go the extra step. The God of the universe, He who creates stars and galaxies, what would be precious to Him? To God, faith is more precious than refined gold. It is so precious and rare that the Scripture says in Luke 18:8, but here's the question, the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes, will He find anyone who still has faith? Is that you? It's me, God. Say, it's me, God. I'm right here. The faith label is common, faith talk is common, but is real faith common? The faith where you're taking steps of faith. I'm believing God. Remember, faith in Him. Faith is precious. God treasures it. He values it. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's what He wants to hear. Your faith. Real faith is not a collection of knowledge about a subject. It's not about being able to quote some verses. Real faith is you trust God. You trust Him. He knows your heart, and He knows that you can trust Him with your life, with what you're needing to do. You trust Him, and it's demonstrated by what we do. It's our actions. Our steps of faith is how it's demonstrated. God said, I found His heart faithful before me. I knew He will do what I told Him to do. I can count on Him. So let's look at Abram here in Genesis chapter 12. Let's see what real faith looked like and sounded like. And we're going to look at the first couple of verses in Genesis chapter 12. In the 12th chapter, we see the beginning of this faith adventure that he went to. He went into the unknown. He went into the
unknown.
Oh. He did go into the unknown. He was stepping out into a step of faith. That was supposed to be funnier, sorry. I'm here all week, folks. Thanks. This is his faith adventure. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Let me say that right. He wasn't Abraham yet. Let's stop right there. This is where faith began. Now the Lord had said to Abraham. If the Lord hadn't said, Abram, thank you. If the Lord hadn't said anything to Abram, he couldn't have believed for anything. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He told him, what did he tell him? He said, get out of here. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to the land that I'll show you. So he spoke a word. And Abram said in verses 2, He told Abram in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing and bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In verse number 4, we're going to come back to these verses. I'm hurrying through them. But verse number 4, without hesitation, Abram went. That's where faith started, right there in Abram's life. This is how we know Abraham had faith. This is how we know he has faith. Not because he's got good notes on faith and all the CDs and he's been to every conference or can quote verses. But he had what the Lord has said to him. And when the word came to him, when the Lord spoke to him, what did he do? He did it. He did it. How does it say it there in the voice translation? Without hesitation, he did it. It's easy for us to read this, you know, Abram, get out of here, go somewhere. It's easy for you just to read that. But he grew up, where he grew up meant something to him. just like it does to you. His family, his relatives meant something to him, just like they went to you. But he's going off into the unknown, isn't he? Off into the unknown.
Into the unknown.
Is it getting old already? That's for my wife, by the way. So, just like you, he's going off into the unknown, just where he doesn't know anyone. He doesn't have any connections. He doesn't have anything lined up. He has to deal with all those thoughts, all those things. How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to do this? He had to overcome all those fears just like you. But the reason he's in the book instead of someone else, because of his first major step of faith, when the Lord said to him, Abram, get out of here, get out of your country, he listened. And that doesn't mean all your people are bad. That doesn't mean your country's bad, unless you're from Alabama. But it doesn't mean they're all bad. Just joking. But God's got a plan for you. He's going to have to get you out of the environment you're in, because he wants you to wind up several faith steps down the road thinking so radically different that anyone you've ever been around is thinking. And if you're stuck in that same environment, sometimes you get concrete head. You know, you become so hard-headed that you don't listen. He wants to get you out of that environment. He wants to get you where you can be thinking radically different. He said, come on up out of here with me. I'm going to put you in another environment. I'm going to immerse you in spirit and light and truth, and it's going to change you. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you hear. It's going to change the way you perceive things. Now think about this. Some of the things that came later in Abraham's walk, he would not be ready for at this moment in his life, would he? And also, later in life, if he hadn't done this, he wouldn't be ready for those things. This was his first step of faith. If he had just heard and not acted, it would be a totally different story. We wouldn't be talking about him. But every time he heard and he acted, he became stronger, his faith developed, and over the process of time, he was able to hear things he wouldn't have been able to hear before. He's able to believe things and believe for things he wouldn't have been able to hear for before because of what he did in verse number 4. He went immediately. As soon as the Lord said, hey, go on, he said, yes, sir, I'm doing it. You don't just start at the highest point where God's called you, you start at point A. You're getting to point Z, but it's step by step by step. You have to start with, do you have enough faith to do what I'm telling you to do right now? You might be saying, well, he hasn't told me to move. He hasn't, but he's told you to do things. He's told you to listen to this tape, listen to this meeting, go to church, be faithful, work, pray, minister to somebody, help someone specifically. But if you fail in that first step of faith, you won't be ready for the next step. And if you're not ready for the next one, you'll never find out about the others and the next step and the next step. Those so-called small things are not so small after all. When the Lord deals with you about something, it's not small, because who's telling you to do it? Who's the boss talking to you? If the Lord asks you to do something minor, that's the biggest thing you have to do that moment. There's nothing more important to do than what He asked you to do. Even if you think it's the most insignificant thing, you're going to be the most faithful person ever doing that, because God asked you to do it. Now, Abraham was told by the Lord, the Lord said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. The Lord said to him, get out of your country, from your kinfolks, from your father's house. That's hard, isn't it? sometimes faith is hard on your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to do it because it's making you have to step out and do something new. Your soul can be flesh influenced, or it can be spirit influenced. Don't you think Abram cared about his aunts and his uncles? Don't you think he's going to miss the place that he learned how to hunt and fish? His country, his home country, it meant something to him, just like it did to you, does to you. And when think about leaving it all, these your friends and your family. If you need something, they're going to help you. If someone attacks you, they're going to be there to help you. They're going to help fight with you. And just think about this country. You know, there wasn't no Walker, Texas Ranger out there helping you out. You know, there's people out there with big swords, and whoever had the biggest sword won. But the Lord told him this, and he heard the words of the Lord, and he acted on it. He acted on it. I love it how it says in the Voice translation, and immediately he did it. This was just between him and God. And it doesn't matter how big a church you go to, how many friends you have, how fast they can pray in tongues, or how many scriptures they can quote. When you go home and the organ music stops, it's all going to be about you and God. What God said to you. What did he tell you? Do you trust him? And the acid test of do you trust him is, will you do it? What did he tell you? Do you trust him, and are you going to do it? Because if you won't do it, no matter how much talking you do, that means you don't trust him. Remember, faithful means he trusts you. Did Abraham trust what God told him? He said, leave here, you leave everything you know, you leave all here that you have here, you leave everything. And Abraham said, yes, sir. And now God didn't leave him just with an empty idea. He said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He said that he is going to make Abram a great nation. He's going to be blessed. Anyone that comes against him is cursed. If you believe this, if you're Abraham, wouldn't you be getting excited? Hey, this is going to be great, God. I'm excited. He goes in and starts packing his bags. Instead of crying about leaving mama, he's getting excited. You can tell he's in faith about this. Real faith doesn't cry and feel sorry for itself. Because what are you feeling bad about? I'm having to leave mama. But you're getting what it says here. I'm going to make of you a great nation. But I'm having to leave mama. But I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. But I have to leave mama. Which way is that looking? It's looking back. I'm not saying don't love your mama. I love my mama, you know. I still love my mama. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when he's called you to do something, stop looking at what you're leaving while you're trying to do what he's asked you to do. Stop looking back. That's where unbelievers look. Unbelievers look back. Faith doesn't look back longingly with self-pity about what I'm having to give up. Because if you believe what God's telling you, and you believe how big he is, and how great he is, and how wonderful he is, then you know that anything you're having to give up is not even worthy of being compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. And if you don't believe that, and you're not excited about it, then you believe what you're turning loose is worth more than what God's telling you. Which means you don't believe. Remember, faithful means God trusts you. Real faith, the faith of Abraham, is the faith that obeys. So if we're wanting to have the faith of Abraham, number one in my part of the series here is faith that obeys. He went out how? not knowing where he was going. In Hebrews 11:8, it says, "Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go." He wasn't stressed out about it. He wasn't plucking his eyebrows out. He wasn't pacing the floor. Faith obeys not fully understanding, not knowing how and why, and not yet singing the blues either. Faith that's happy, not what I'm leaving, not what I'm losing, what I'm going to. What I'm going to, he will bless me and make my name great. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing what he's called me to do. I'm not going to be longing and looking back. I'm looking forward for what he has for me. Amen. Anyone that's followed the Lord very long has experienced these steps, these same kind of steps that Abraham had. But every time we take a step, things happen. And then he puts you in a position to take another step. And then years later, he puts you in a position to take another step. And these steps of faith, these same steps that Father Abraham took, is not about, do you know all the steps? It's not about, do you know all the, and quote all the verses and all the right translations and know all the right things to say. No, it's between you and him. What did he tell you to do? And do you believe him enough to act? Do you trust him enough? Do you trust me enough to leave what you built? Do you trust me enough to go into the unknown and basically start over?
Into the unknown.
Do you trust me enough to go into the unknown and start from scratch? Do you trust me? The Lord says. Do you trust him? Dr. Lillian B. Oman said, "God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the Word of God." Some people wouldn't dare step out not knowing what's underneath their feet. Just like you think of Indiana Jones taking the step of faith, was it what it was called, the leap of faith, stepping out into the void, and when he steps down, he's on this hidden platform that was kind of camouflaged. We need to trust God more than a Hollywood movie. We need to trust God because he said it, we're going to do it. Because he said it, I trust him, it's coming to pass. Because he said it, I'm putting my life in his hands, and I trust him. He delights in us. He takes pleasure in our faith. He said, "I will make of you a great nation." Well, if you believe God, you're starting to, what are you starting to do? You're already thinking, well, I'm out of here. I'm packing my bags. I hope there's a Walmart down the street where I'm going, because we're on the way. You're already getting lighthearted. You're already getting some excited, some anticipation. We're going on a faith adventure here into the unknown. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Genesis 12:2, "I will make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curses you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It's time to shout. It's time to get excited. I'm going. It's going to be great. He's already said it's going to be wonderful there. He's already said it's going to be amazing there. Who am I going to doubt? God's telling me it's going to be great. I trust him. It should be long gone in your thought about anything you're having to leave or anything you're having to give up. It's time to shout. It's time to shout and go, because compared to what he just told you, there's nothing even worthy to compare into that. So what happens in verse number 4? Without hesitation, Abram went. He did exactly as the Eternal One asked him to do. Abraham was 75 years old when he left. He took his wife with him, his brother's son, all their possessions, and all the persons and of their household, and they set off toward the land of Canaan. Immediately, without hesitation, he obeyed God. Now, another thing you might see there, Abraham was 75 years old. Well, 75 is not too late to start a new thing. 75 is not too old to launch into a brand new faith adventure. Now, I'm not talking about age here. It's never too late to start your faith adventure. It's never too late to start something brand new that He's leading you to do. It's never too late to start something and launch into the unknown, previously not encountered areas in your life and immediately go and do that because He's asking you to do it. It's not too late. I'm not talking about moving, but I'm talking about acting on what He's told you to do. A brand new thing. A brand new thing in your life. You're excited about it. You're ready to do it. Amen. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. Amen. Thank you, Father. A brand new thing. 75 is not too late. 75 is never too late. You might be thinking, well, I'm not 75 yet. Well, you might be in your mentality because you're thinking it's over. There's no way, there's no how. I'm not asking you to pack your bags and run off into the unknown today. But there may be times, there might be situations in your life where God's asked you to do something and led you to act, and you gave up. You stopped. You gave in. It's too hard. There's no way. There's no how. When He spoke to you, you didn't listen. You didn't act on it immediately. It could have been in a relationship. It could have been in tithing and giving. It could have been in church attendance. It could have been helping your neighbor. It could have been doing anything He's asked you to do. Most likely God hasn't called you to move to Timbuktu today, but if He did, what would your first response be? If He asked you to do something for your neighbor, what would your first response be? If He asked you to bless someone, what would your first response be? If He asked you to wake up early, 1 hour early in the morning and read the Word, what would your response be? If He asked you to pray in the Spirit for 5 extra minutes, what would your response be? Without hesitation, Abraham went. That's what our first response would be. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do it right now, sir. Yes, sir, I ask that you forgive me in that situation, and right now I choose to make a change. Right now I choose to start over. Right now I choose 75 is not too old to start a brand new thing. And if there's been attachments, emotional attachments, financial attachments, community attachments, church attachments, soulical attachments, family attachments, chains that are forged in man are not the Spirit's doing. Things that make you walk by sight are not the Spirit's doing. He wants you to walk by the Spirit and not by sight. There are things in our life that comforts us and consoles us. If you think about a blanket, a well-worn blanket, it has holes, it has tears in it, it might stink, it might smell, but it's comfortable. Oh, it's so comfortable. Well, it's time to put away that familiar thing and step out and do what He's calling you to do and stop laying back on that security blanket. But I'm going to do what You've asked me to do now, Lord. Because You asked me to do it. If you don't want to make a change, time is passing quickly. If you don't want to make a change, He's going to have to depend upon someone else to do it. And someone else will get that blessing. And He wants you to have it. He wants your place to be straight. He wants your crooked places straight and your dark places light. He wants you to have blessings and peace and comfort and joy. He wants all the promises He's promised you in the Word to be yours. But do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? You might be thinking, you'd be caught in that situation where I was going to do it. I was going to do it. I thought I would. But there's no more time. There's no more time. Now's the time. 75 is not too late. So while it's called today, today is your opportunity to make a change. Today is your opportunity to start something new, a new attitude, a new perspective, to have a palace perspective, a divine perspective, a heaven perspective, and not a a fleshly perspective. Today I break free from fear. Today I shake off timidity. Today I choose to do what You've called me to do, Lord. If that's you today, if you can say, today, Father, I need You to forgive me. Forgive me for not doing what You've asked me to do. Make that change in your heart right now. Ask them to forgive you. Father, I just thank You for forgiving me. I can think of things in my life that I have chosen to sit by and let happen and let someone else take care of it. I ask that You forgive me, Father. I ask that You forgive me, Lord. Today, I make the change in my heart. Today I make the change in my attitude. Today I get excited about it. Today I get excited about what You've called me to do. Today I get excited about the things You have for me, the next step You have for me, the plan and the purpose You have for me, because that's what You've called me to do. You asked me to do it, and I'm going to do it because You asked me to do it. And I love You, and I'm going to be someone You can call faithful. Say this with me. I will not be held down. I will not be afraid. I will not be too weak. I will not be kept in. I will arise like my father Abraham. I will say yes. I can believe too. I will say yes. I will go too. And Father, I just choose to go. I choose to follow Your plan, Your purpose, Your dream that You have for my life. And I just thank You, Father. I just thank You. Thank Him with me, with you would. Raise your voices. Tell Him how wonderful it is that You choose to follow His plan. How much You trust Him. Father, I trust You. I want to be someone that You can call faithful. I want to be someone that You can depend upon. I want to be someone that You can speak to, and I will act upon it. And I thank You for that. I thank You, Holy Spirit, on the inside of me. My antenna's up. I'm listening. I'm listening for Your word. I'm listening for You to speak. I'm listening for You to guide me. I'm turning off all the distractions. I'm getting out of this place. I'm getting out of this country, all the distractions, and I'm getting to a place where I can listen to You, where I can depend upon You. And my step of faith starts now. I'm stepping forward now. I'm setting my foot upon that rock You've called me to set my foot on. And pulling my foot out of the clay and setting it upon the rock. And I just thank You, Father. I thank You, Father. I praise You. I worship You. Thank You, Father. And if you're in this place or if you're listening to this word and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I take You as my Lord. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Today I take You as my Lord. And today I am saved because You have saved me in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.